Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Man, so glad y'all are here with us this morning as we kick off the Christmas season here at Pursuit. Anybody here ready for the Christmas season? Yeah, come on. Come on. And, you know, as Pastor Karen reminded us last week, though, you know, it's really not about a day. Christmas is really not about a day. What it's about is a season. And it's about reminding us why Jesus came and why it's important that he came. It's not really the fact about the day he was born. It's more about what's really important. And what's really important is what he brought because he was born. That's the real meaning of Christmas. Remember this, there could be no Easter without Christmas. You got to get that now. There would be no Easter without Christmas. The story of Christ coming to earth is both beautiful and powerful. But Christmas is more than just a story. Because Jesus brought more than the story when he came down from heaven in the form of a baby who would be born in a barn. He brought a new way of thinking, a new way of living, a new way for us to view the world. And the way that Jesus viewed the world, the way he thought, the way he lived, should impact and shape us into how we think and live. Are you with me? Can y'all preach with me today? Amen? Amen. In fact, it might be said that Jesus brought with him and lived with a certain state of mind, a state of mind that impacted how he thought and how he lived. And so we're also called to have a certain state of mind that would be in unison with our Savior. And so the theme for our Christmas series this year is a Christmas state of mind. And over these next few weeks, we're gonna look at what does it mean to have a Christmas state of mind. And our key scripture is found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, where it says, "Let this mind be in who? You, which was also in Christ Jesus." Pray with me now. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you right now. We have worshiped you. We have brought you our praise. And now, God, we're coming before you now asking that the power of your word penetrate our hearts. God, we pray that your word speaks to us. We pray for our open hearts and minds to be receptive to what you want to plant in us today. Whatever you plant, God, may it grow. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray that we do not leave today the same as when we came in. And so, God, right now I surrender my mind, my will, my emotions, everything that I am. God, I lay it and surrender it to you so that you can have your way today. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we say that and we proclaim that. Amen, amen, amen. Everybody said amen. Come on. Have you ever worked with somebody to achieve something? Maybe on a sports team, maybe at work, maybe on a school project. If so, there's a good chance that you may already be familiar with one of the Christmas mindsets or states of mind that I want to bring to you today. And it's one that maybe I don't know if you've considered before when it comes to Christmas, but it's powerful. I want to bring you the concept of cooperation. Everybody say this with me, cooperation. Cooperation. Right. And how when you cooperate and you partner with God, incredible things will happen in your life. When you cooperate with God, when you partner with him, he's going to do incredible things in your life. Somebody say this with me. God is looking for my cooperation. And how about this one? I am in a partnership with God. You got to get that today. God's looking for people that will cooperate with him. And he's looking for people that will partner in the earth with what he wants to do. I think we need to define, though, what that word cooperation really means. I think most of us probably know it, but let's just, you know, for the sake of today's definition, we're going to say that cooperation is the process of working together to the same end or a common goal. That's what the word cooperation means. And my friends, cooperation is everywhere in Christmas. I'm going to show you that. There's cooperation everywhere in Christmas, and it starts with Jesus Christ himself. It starts with Jesus himself. You see, Jesus cooperated with God by agreeing to come to this earth to pay for your sins. Jesus cooperated in the Father's plan. Go to Philippians 2 again, and we're going to read not just verse 5, but all the way through verse 8 to show you what I'm talking about. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." You see, Jesus, working with the Father, agreeing to leave his heavenly throne and humbling himself to achieve the goal of saving us from our sins. Aren't you glad that Jesus cooperated, that Jesus brought a spirit of cooperation, a state of mind of cooperation? You see, the cooperation of Jesus is what makes Christmas possible. Without the cooperation of Jesus, there would be no Christmas. There would be no birth. Jesus agreed. But there are other people in the story of Christmas who also showed us what it looks like to cooperate with God. When God sent an angel to Mary to declare that she would be the earthly mother of the Messiah, she cooperated and was called blessed among women. When the angel appeared to Joseph and told him to take Mary as his wife, instead of divorcing her, because it would be a scandal for her to be pregnant and Joseph not be the father, instead of doing that, Joseph cooperated with God. And he agreed to become part of a blended family. You ever thought about that? Jesus said, "I'll sign up to be part of a blended family." How many blended families we have in here today? Yeah. Yeah. Joseph had a spirit about him that said, I'm going to sign up and care for this child, even though he's not biologically mine. When the shepherds in the field listened to an angel and then decided to follow the star, they found a Savior. Do you see how cooperation is everywhere in the Christmas story? It's filled with examples of people who had a Christmas state of mind because when they cooperated with God's plan, they were forever changed, impacted, and blessed. Powerful. Cooperation is powerful. Cooperation is powerful. Mary, Joseph, Jesus himself, the shepherds, we've seen what cooperation looked like for them. But what does cooperating with God look like for you? What does cooperating with God look like for you in your life? Consider for a minute the relationship between an air traffic controller and a pilot. You see, they have a shared or a common goal of getting the passengers on that plane to a destination safely, right? They cooperate with each other. The controller sets the course, guides the pilot around possible danger, sets a flight plan, and the pilot's job is then to pay attention to that flight controller and follow his instructions and do something with what he's been told, right? The pilot coordinates and listens to the flight plan. Of course, there may be some rough air, thunderstorms, birds flying into the engine, whatever. There may be all kinds of things that they didn't anticipate that are going to happen on this journey. But the thought is, as long as they cooperate and work together, they're going to get those passengers to their destination in safety, right? Well, Pastor, that's great. But there's one thing in your analogy that there's a problem with. Don't airplanes still crash sometimes? Don't people still die sometimes? Yeah, they do. So thank God that he really isn't an air traffic controller and we really aren't pilots, okay? Because it's important we remember that God is perfect. Come on. And if he were an air traffic controller, he'd be a perfect one, right? He'd never make a mistake. And so thank God that we have a God that we're partnering with that we can trust, right? That isn't going to make mistakes, that isn't fallible, that isn't doesn't get tired, doesn't fall asleep at the wheel, so to speak. That's the kind of God that you can partner with. Because he won't ever crash the plane. His guidance, his flight plan will never get you off course. And when you agree to cooperate with his voice, with his plans, with his purposes, you will arrive at your destination in safety. You will. It is a guarantee. If you will partner with God, he will get you to your final destination for sure, which is heaven. Okay, that's the final place, right? It's a guarantee if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and let God lead and direct your life, you will get to heaven. Okay? However, God has some other things here on earth, other destinations, other places he also wants you to get to, other things he has for you to do. And if you will follow his course here, he will get you there too. Now, listen, you may have some bumps in the road. You may have some air pockets. You may have some birds flying to your engine. You may have some thunderstorms come. But if you partner with God, if you let him lead you, guide you, direct you, you will get where he wants you to get. Okay? Yeah. Now, in Philippians, this whole Philippians chapter 2 is just a fascinating and powerful chapter. We're going to be in a lot of it during this Christmas season. And if you go down, I don't have it on the screen, but how many people bought your paper Bibles now? Yeah. Okay. Open this up to Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. I'll let you read it, but what the Apostle Paul is describing here is what it looks like to cooperate with God in your life. He calls it working out your salvation. Now listen, he's not saying you have to work for your salvation. You got to get that. It's not what he's saying here. You don't have to work for your salvation. That's a free gift from God. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So you do not have to work for your salvation. But what he's saying is you and God are going to work in a partnership to live out your salvation. Okay? Everybody say, I'm in a partnership with God. That's what working out your salvation means, that you and God are partners, and you together, not you alone, you together are going to work out your salvation. Once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you got to live it out, right? You got to live it out. I want to give you three things that I think are going to help. No, I don't think. I know they're going to help because they're based on God's word. So I don't even have to think about it. Three things that will, if you'll remember these and work to live these out, they're going to help you work out your salvation. Y'all ready? Here's the very first one. Cooperation begins with consent. Oh, yeah. Come on now. Cooperation begins with consent. To consent is to come into agreement with something or to give permission. Remember, God did not design us as robots. God did not design you as a robot. He gave you and I free will, which is the ability to choose a relationship with him. And Pastor Karen reminded us last week, you cannot change, you cannot get well, you cannot let God shape you if you are not a willing participant. Oh, Pastor, but isn't God sovereign? Yes, he is. God himself can do anything he wants. But remember, you and he are in a partnership to work out your salvation. Okay? So you cannot get well against your will. You cannot be shaped by God against your will. You must be a willing participant. Somebody say willing participant. Uh-huh. Before Jesus came to earth, he consented to take on the form of a human being. And he agreed to live a life that would lead to the cross. Jesus consented. That was the first part of his cooperation. He said, yes, Father, I'll go. I'll do it. Isaiah, I mean, people remember Isaiah, after seeing the Lord said, when asked, well, who are we going to send? Isaiah, send me. Isaiah consented, right? And listen to how Mary responded. It's found in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be, she said. Let it be. You know, that's more than a Beatles song. Maybe people old enough to know that. That's a Beatles song. But Let It Be is more than a Beatles song. It's a declaration of consent. It's a declaration, I agree. God, that's what Mary said, I agree. Now, when Mary said, let it be, did she have all the answers? Nope. Did she know she was going to have to ride on a donkey to Bethlehem? Nope. Did she fully understand that she would give birth to the Savior of the world in a barn with animals? Nope. And yet she said yes. Man, listen, we want details, don't we? I mean, we want to know. I mean, some of you won't even go to a party unless you know who's going to be there, what kind of food they're going to serve, and when it's going to be over. Some people won't come to church unless they know the set list. Oh, what are they playing this week? Oh, who's preaching this week? Well, I'm going to wait for Pastor Karen to preach. Well, I like the way she preaches too, but you still got to be in church. I mean, every once in a while, I got to get up here and preach. Come on. We all love the way Pastor Karen preaches. Come on. But you can't be so stuck in wanting the details that you don't show up to do what God's called you to do. You hear me now? Come on. We want details. Few good men. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. Okay, I'm gonna back off on that. Okay. So what I'm saying is we want details, though. I mean, we want to know the beginning from the end. Oh, man. That angel showed up and didn't give Mary a lot of details. What he gave her was a few key truths. He said that you are highly favored among God. He said that you are to name your son Jesus and that he would change everything forever. That's pretty much what the angel said to Mary. One other thing, though, toward the very beginning, he said a few things. And then he said to her, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You see, that's all Mary really needed to hear. As soon as she heard that, I know she had some stuff in her heart, I'm sure, in her mind. Okay, how's this all going to work? No, let it be. I don't have to be afraid. I know God's going to be with me. And here's what you need to understand. When God calls you to do something, when he whispers, okay, take that step, you don't have to be afraid either. That's right. Anybody happy about that? When Joshua was getting ready to take over for Moses, what did God, first words, don't be afraid. Because he knew Joshua was afraid. That's why he said that. Angel knew Mary was likely going to be afraid. That's why God will help you not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Whew, man. When God calls you to cooperate with him and follow where he's leading you, you don't need to be afraid. Remember this, if God is calling you to it, he will be with you in it. If God is calling you to it, he will be with you in it. That's a promise from God. That's a promise from God. I know you want all the details. So do I. But you don't need all the details. Somebody say, I don't need all the details. Mm-mm. I want them, but I don't need them. In fact, God's word is actually very clear that you're not going to get all the details. So if you're waiting for it, not going to happen. He's already told you very clearly in his word, you're not getting all the details. It's not going to happen. Not now, not tomorrow, or ever. So you got to get comfortable knowing you ain't going to get the details. Uh-huh. But Pastor, I like the details. I want to know. Yeah, so do I. But That ain't the God we serve. You see, God has not called us to a life of knowledge. He's called us to a life of faith. If you knew everything, it would just be knowledge. Wouldn't require any faith. We have not been called. You can get knowledge, but only if you can use it for wisdom. Wisdom that doesn't lead to, or knowledge that doesn't lead to wisdom is pretty much worthless, to be honest with you, where God's concerned. He did not call you and I to a life of knowledge. He called us to a life of faith. In fact, in Hebrews, it says, what? Those of you that know this, have read it? It is impossible to please God without faith. Because he wants us to depend upon him. He's the air traffic controller. We're just the pilots. And he wants to make sure we know that. And we remember that. Your cooperation begins with your consent. That's where it starts. Here's something else that's important in your partnership with God. Know your role. Say that with me. Know your role. Know your role. You know, we had a great Thanksgiving. I hope you did too. But one of the reasons we had a great Thanksgiving is each person knew what their role was. Some people brought the meat. Other people brought side dishes. Other people brought desserts. And someone had to make sure there was plates and silverware there. You see, everybody had a role. It was great because everybody understood their role. Everybody did their role. It was a good meal. When it comes to cooperating with God, it's important that you know your role and you know what God's role is. You see, what if everyone had brought just drinks and cups? That would have been a pretty disastrous Thanksgiving. Everybody brought drinks. Everybody brought cups. Oh, no meat, no sides, no dessert. No, that would have been a disaster. And we can crash the plane real quick when we try and assume roles that are God's. We can crash the plane real quick when we start getting into God's roles instead of taking care of our roles. Listen, it's God's role to plan the course. God gets to set the agenda, not you and I. And we have too many people trying to tell God what the agenda is and then asking him to bless your agenda. We're just sitting there, amen, on that. No, we're trying to get God on board with our agenda. We're trying to be in his role. He sets the agenda. He sets the course. He sets the flight plan. Our job is to follow him, not to get him to follow us. Woo! Someone better hear that. Because we got a lot of, sometimes we want to step in that role. God, will you just bless this? Wait a minute. Well, don't be asking God to bless something that, first of all, if it's not biblical. God says, should I move in with my boyfriend? No. Sorry. I mean, you can pray all day long about that answer, and it's still going to be no every time. Don't be asking God to bless things that are against his word. He won't do it because God says, I'm not a man that I would lie. God will not lie to you. You may not always like the truth that he shares with you, but you can count on God to bring you the truth. He's never going to lie to you. Okay. All right. Got a little quiet there. Okay. It's all good, man. It's all good. When we choose to cooperate with God, then great things can happen. When we choose not to, bad things can happen. Let's talk about what it says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 8. Again, if you've got your Bibles. I don't have it on the screen. This is why you got a participation, when we preach here. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 tells us that we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean on our own understanding. And that when we do that, he will smooth out the path. When we choose not to cooperate with God, do it our way, assume his role, and try to become the Lord of our own lives, guess what? Your path is going to get rocky. Your path, my path, is going to get rocky when I try and assume God's role. Now, I want to show you something else, because this is very important. And you find this throughout God's word. In fact, Michael preached part of this maybe a year or so ago. I want to bring it back to your attention. There are certain things that God is waiting on you to do before he's going to do what he's going to do. Okay, so they're called the if-then promises of God in the Bible. And there's a lot of them. I'm going to give you just a few. Matthew 17:20 says that if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, then we can have the power to move mountains. You see what happens? We bring our faith, then God gives us the power to move mountains. You see how that works? If we bring it, our role, then God shows up and does his thing. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says that if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, then then we will hear from heaven and God will heal our land. You see, we have so many of us praying for God to heal our land, but we're not doing the first part. We're not bringing God our repentance, our humility. And God says, if you'll do that, then I will come heal your land. See, we want him just to come heal. God is not a genie in a bottle. We're in a partnership with God. Partnership. And Malachi, I got a grandson named Malachi. Malachi chapter 3 says that if the word there is actually when, same meaning. If you will bring your tithes to God, then he will open up the windows of heaven. So we're sitting there asking God, bless my finances, bless my finances, bless my finances. Well, wait a minute, you have a part to play in that. You have a part to play in that. Come on. Come on. Part of cooperating with God is learning and living out your role in your relationship with him. And as you live out your relationship with him, as you work out your salvation, then you can count on God showing up to do his part every time. God ain't going to crash the plane. Say that. God ain't going to crash the plane. Mm-mm. Is this helping anybody today? It's helping me. All right, Brandon, if you'll come. Your yes, your consent is where it all begins. And then as you begin to live out your part, you begin to experience rewards. You begin to experience the fruits of your faithfulness as you continue to do your part and you watch God show up and do his. And there's one last part of the cooperation equation that I want to share with you today. And it's this: cooperation requires commitment. Everybody say commitment. Now, maybe you have heard what I call the breakfast story. Breakfast story? What are we talking about, Pastor? You know, the one about steak and eggs. Say you have steak and eggs for breakfast. In a steak and egg breakfast, the chicken is involved in the meal, but the cow is committed to the meal. You hear me now? You got some nice scrambled eggs. The chicken contributed, but that cow was committed to the meal. You see, Jesus was not just involved in his mission when he came to earth. He was committed to it. Mary was not merely involved in bringing Jesus into the world. She was committed to loving him, raising him, preparing him in every way that she could. Joseph was more than just involved. He made a huge commitment by taking on a son who was not his biologically and putting their needs above his own. Sometimes that's what commitment is. You're putting God's plans, you're putting others' needs above your own. It takes commitment to do that. How many people in here know that that takes commitment? It takes a commitment. The more committed you are to God and his purposes in your life, the more cooperative you're going to be. I would say it this way: your level of cooperation will be directly tied to your level of commitment. Your level of cooperation with God is going to be directly tied to the level of your commitment. The more committed you are to God and cooperate with him, the more he's going to shape and direct your life. So let me ask you this: what place does God have in your life? Are you involved with God, or are you committed to him? Is Jesus just a part of your life, Or have you committed your whole life to Jesus? Jesus once said, it's in the Old Testament and New Testament, the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord God with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your strength. That is what commitment looks like. That's a tall order. But I'm telling you, there's no real cooperation, or you don't fully experience partnership with God until you fully commit to what He's taking you to. It's a biblical principle. Proverbs 16:3 says that if you will commit your work to the Lord, that He will establish your plans. It's exactly what He says. If you'll commit, do your part, that He'll establish your plans. Anybody here like their plans established by God instead of just flying by the seat of your pants? Besides me? Oh, man. And my friends, God's word is clear. He has great plans for your life. Yes, come on. We can celebrate that right now. God has Jeremiah 29. You've seen it on a bumper sticker. You've seen it on a plaque on a wall. But it's reality. God has a plan for your life to give you a hope and a future. The great evangelist and preacher D.L. Moody once said, if God is your partner, make your plans big. I want you to just resonate on that for a minute. If God is your partner, make your plans big. God's not interested in small dreams. Not that there's anything wrong with your dreams, but with God, why not dream big? With God, why not make your plans big? Because if He's your partner, the one who literally flung the stars, who's right now, this earth is spinning, we're going around the sun, all of that is kept in balance actually through Jesus Christ, who is in the beginning with God, who created everything with God. If He can do that, what can He do in your life? Come on. Scripture that says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. Anything, by the way, means anything. I know you may be facing a situation right now. Oh, I just don't see any way. I see no way. No, I don't. You're right. In your own natural way, there probably is no way. But you get God involved in your plans. You get God involved in what's going on. His word says there's nothing too hard for Him. That's the kind of partner I want. And that's the kind of partner you'll get when you partner with God, when you cooperate with Him. My friends, when God calls you to cooperate, say yes. Say yes. Don't look for reasons or excuses to say no. Say yes. Your yes could unlock everything in your life. One yes could be the answer to someone's prayer. One yes could be the answer to your literal plan and destiny for God. I'm telling you, nothing ever happens in God's equation or relationships without someone saying yes first. Jesus did it. Isaiah did it. Mary did it. Shepherds in the field did it. Joseph did it. I could keep going. Paul did it. It all started with a yes. I will cooperate with you, God. I will partner with you because I need you. If God be your partner, make your plans big. So, my friends, let me encourage you, when God calls you to cooperate, say yes. Don't be afraid. Let me also encourage you then to live out your yes. Don't just say yes and sit on your hands and do nothing. Live out your yes. Do your part. You're in a partnership with God. Do your part. Don't worry about God's part. He's going to do His part. You do your part. And your part mainly is to let God lead and you follow. In a nutshell, that's your role. Your role is to follow. And finally, commit with all your heart to God's plans and to building His kingdom here on earth. And watch what God will do in your life. His word says He will do things you can't not even hope or imagine, is what His word says. You can't even fathom the things of God that he will do. David, sitting in a field of sheep, had no idea that he would be in a palace, that he would be a king, that he would be slaying thousands of people. He'd been leading God's people. David was one of the most imperfect people to ever walk the planet. But God still used him, and he'll still use you. But it started with David saying yes. It started, I think Pastor Cam preached this last week too. He took some stones and he killed a giant. He said, "Yes, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I've got a few stones and a slingshot, but I believe you're with me in it. I believe you're partnering with me." And down goes Goliath. See, David said yes. Everything in the gospel starts with your yes. Your salvation starts from your perspective with your yes. Jesus already did his, he fulfilled his role. Now all we have to do is say yes. Say yes to God. Partner with him. Cooperate with him in your life. And he will take you places you cannot even imagine. I hope you believe that today. I hope you receive that today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we're so grateful for the power of your word in our lives. God, your word today has informed us. It has washed us. It has brought us hope and healing. So Lord, we come before you now and we want to fully, God, help us to fully commit, to fully cooperate with you in what you want to do in our lives. Help us, God, to say yes when you call us and give us the faith that we need to do our part as we follow you. We love you, Father. God, we love you. And we pray and ask all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now listen, with every head still bowed, every eye still closed, I believe there's somebody here today who the Holy Spirit is prompting right now to say yes to Jesus. Yes to what he did for you. Yes, and consenting for him to be the Lord of your life. If that's you today, I want to invite you just to pray a simple prayer with me. And let me invite everybody, who, if you've already given Jesus your yes, I celebrate that. But how about reminding yourself of what you signed up for today? How about reminding yourself, as we say this, about what it means to say yes to Jesus and in support of maybe someone that's doing that for the first time? Just pray this simple prayer with me. And remember, it's not so much about the prayer. The word's clear. It's about what you believe. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved, is what the word says. So pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you now with my whole heart. I believe that you died for my sins, and I believe that you rose again. Today, I repent of my sins. Wash me clean and make me new. You gave your life for me, and today I give you mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.